Thank you. Boy, a lot to live up to. You know, we all have a lot to live for. God called us to be his children. You know, what an incredible lifestyle that we have. And that's, in God's opinion, that's who we are. And that's the true reality of life. So I want to give my greetings to our CD listeners and also to my children who are abroad, Tim and Tristan and James and Katie, and Susie's teaching toddlers fellowship this morning, so all the moms could be here. So just a wonderful privilege to speak, to teach God's word. And I wanted to share, because of Mother's Day, the title of my teaching is A Mother's Heart. And without children, we wouldn't be celebrating Mother's Day, and without mothers, none of us would be here about that. So there's a lot to be thankful for. One of the greatest assets of a woman is her heart. Today, I'd like to look at the qualities of a mother's heart. We'll look at a tremendous woman in the Old Testament that scholars have labeled her a woman who personifies ideal motherhood, and that is the woman Hannah in 1 Samuel. I believe our Heavenly Father intended to help us women learn how to be mothers after God's own heart. You know, the says in the word that David was a man after God's own heart, and I think God wants us to be mothers after his own heart. What comes to mind when you hear the word mother? Unconditional love, kindness, devotion, sacrifice, graciousness, persistent goodwill, a selfless person who puts the needs of others before her own, giving her life, energy, time, even sleepless nights for her family. You know, that's mom. Each of us have had a wonderful mom to do that. And that's why we are where we are today. Standing on God's word, receiving God's word. It's wonderful. If you think about these qualities, our Heavenly Father is the master of each one of us. Unconditional love. He's always there for us. He's never sleeping. His heart is always open to give. He knows the very hairs on our head. He's so into the details. As a mother, we're very concerned about the details of our children. They start to complain, their shoes hurt or different things hurt. We want to solve the problem, take care of it. So God is very much as those same characteristics. And to look at, to understand a lot of these, we just look at what God has. He's a great mentor for us as mothers. Motherhood is the biggest job training, on-the-job training program in existence today. You know, every mom's job is a little bit different. I raised three children, and each one of them are different. And I can't do the same thing for each one of them. I have to understand each of their hearts. So it's, there's no set mold. It's on the job. Today, what am I going to do? Tomorrow, what am I going to do? In 2 minutes, what am I going to do? It's just that changing. Can you imagine it? I think God just knew that a woman had that ability. It's not in a box that a man could handle. It's just how God made each one of us. And it's what a wonderful privilege it is, because we make tremendous effects on the generations to come, our children. One of my favorite verses is 3 John 4. It says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. You know, we want to be examples to our children. It says that be imitators of God as dear children. Well, children watch everything we do. They hear everything we say. And every once in a while, those words come up that you didn't want them to hear. Or different things that come up. And they just mirror. It's a mirror. They see us and they walk. It's even, if you look at people walking, a dad walking and a son walking, you know, they have that same stride. It's amazing, all these different things, characteristics. So how important our lives are, our commitment to the word is, for our children to grow up in that. It's really, that's quite an influence. If you want to have an influence on life, an impact on life, raise our children in the word. You'll see it. You know, that if you want to have a tremendous person, someone rise up in the word that you witnessed to, well, you got one from birth. you're going to raise that child, and they never get, you're always their mom. You know, and I think we get older, and I look at my own mom. You know, she's always advising me, well, you're stressed, so don't do that. Or Rebecca tells me, you've got too much to do. Don't just say no. You know, that's what we need from each other, the family of God. We need to take care of each other because we want to give so much. And if you don't think you have a place to give, there's so much. Children's Fellowship. If you haven't been around a little child and want to influence the life of a child, volunteer to teach. Toddler Fellowship. You know, here's a life that you can make a tremendous impact on. And that's what the whole body of Christ is all about, the family of God. It's just amazing, our lives, what we can do. This morning we're going to look at a mother's heart from the book of 1 Samuel chapter 1. So if you please turn to that. I think you'll get real blessed. It's been a real blessing for me to really study this and to look at this aspect. And hope you think about your mom today and the impact your mother has had on your life or has on your life. And how much we can all be examples of that in the future. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 1. Now there was a certain man of Ramathan Zophim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph. I wish they had normal names. And Ephrathite. And he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other is Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. Hannah was the first wife. Oh, okay, let's see. So this is the beginning of the period, is at the end of the period of the judges of Israel, when everyone did right in their own eyes. There was no one consistently doing what God wanted them to do. It was what they wanted to do. Eli was the high priest, and his sons were wicked men who had no regard for the Lord. So it was pretty tough times. Just think about it. You know, we think we have tough times today. We don't, you know, we have a lot available. It's amazing. His sons were sons of Belial. Israel needed a faithful judge, so God had to work with the heart of a woman to lead them. God chose Hannah, a woman of faith and prayer. So here we have a man who has two wives. Now you think, why did he have two wives? Well, he wanted to. No. The first wife couldn't have a child. So to have progeny, he was able to take on another wife. Well, here you have a scenario of two women living together, one having a child and one not. Verse 3, and this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. Now remember, these were sons of Belial, so it wasn't a very great thing there going on. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah, his wife, and to all her sons and daughters portions. He made sacrifices in their names. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. We see Elkanah offered sacrifice for Peninnah and his children, but he loved Hannah more and gave a worthy portion for her. This starts a rivalry. Interesting. In verse 6 it says, and her adversary also provoked her sore, for it made her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. Her adversary was the other wife, saying, you know, hey, Hannah, remember, the Lord shut up your womb. I have all these children. But Hannah had, and she was jealous because Elkanah loved Hannah more than he loved Peninnah. So here you got a conflict. You know, as I think men think that they got a challenge having one wife. Can you imagine having two? And then, you know, and we think we have challenges. You know, all of us have a personal adversary. There's something in our life that the adversary is just going to say or remind us that maybe we aren't perfect or maybe we're not trusting God. But we have a Heavenly Father that is very concerned for the very hair on our head. So he, with that knowledge of God's word, we can beat that personal adversary. And Hannah was very faithful. Every year she had to deal with this. And when her husband went to the temple to sacrifice, he continued to give the portions and more portions for Hannah, and Peninnah continued to remind her that the Lord had shut up her womb. So you'd think that would be a very challenging situation, that Hannah could be very depressed and discouraged. But her most people take disappointment, result of it, as with bitterness and hardness. But Hannah knew God and believed in him. Her solution to heartache was prayer. And we can learn from that, each one of us. Solution to heartache is prayer. A mother's prayer life must be great. Hannah learned patience and faith. It doesn't say how many years went on, but it wasn't a few. Every year this went on. It was reminded every year. And actually one commentary said that they thought it was 20 years. You know, sometimes we think waiting a month for an answer to prayer is a long time. Imagine 20 years of being reminded that you don't have a child and praying. So let's look at verse 7. And as he did so year after year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore, she wept and did not eat. You know, when things are really tough and you cry, you're not into eating. You just feel really, really bad. Every year, this went on. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? You know, one of the wonderful qualities of a husband is trying to solve our problems as a woman. And he said, you know, I've loved you probably greater than 10 sons. Can't that solve your problem? But no, her heart's desire was to have a child. She was not going to give up. So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by the post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. Hannah got away from everyone and went to the temple and poured her heart unto the Lord and wept sore. She bargained with God that if he would give her a son, she would give him back to the Lord, to serve the Lord all the days of his life. Can you imagine that heart? Here she is, she's praying for, who knows, let's say 20 years for this son. And she says, well, God, if you just give him to me, I'll give him back to you. You know, I think our Heavenly Father did the same thing. He had a son, and he gave his son. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoso believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's an incredible commitment. I'm glad I haven't been asked to do that, give a child of mine to the Lord, and that would be it. But you know, each one of us, we are children of God. We are sons of God. We have the Christ in us. We have the same future as Jesus Christ did, to serve the Lord, to serve our Father in heaven. So actually, we are raising our children to give them to the Lord. So, but we also enjoy the wonderful fellowship we have with them. Things are a lot different in these days than they are today. Let's see. Verse 12, and it says, and it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. You start watching her. Here she's praying. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved. But her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. Now here she is, and you know, people prayed. They prayed out loud. A lot of people wanted to be known for their much praying. You know, it was out in the open praying. But here she's praying, pouring her heart to God, and she's not speaking. So he's assuming that she's drunk. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou thee drunken? Put away thine wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, No, my lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. You know, Hannah shares her heart with him. Her heart is grieved. She is in great, a sorrowful spirit. And so she's poured her heart unto the Lord. And then Eli's heart softens and sends her away, telling her that God will promise the answer to her prayer. Okay, let's look at verse 19. And they arose up. Oh, and verse 18. And she said, Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went away and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. Now that's faith. She knew that she made her request known. She knew that God was going to take care of her. So she poured her heart out. She gave everything that she needed. Help in. She gave it to God and left it there with him. That's a woman of faith. It says in James 5:16, be that effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman availeth much. Verse 19, and they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. They put God first, they went home, they made a baby, and she conceived. Isn't that awesome? Right away, God fulfilled that promise. Okay, let's see. And when it came, verse 20, when it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, Because I have asked him of the Lord. And Samuel means God hears. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord and there abode forever. And Elkanah, her husband, said unto her, Do what seemeth thee good, tarry until thou hast weaned him, only the Lord establish his word. So the woman abided and gave her son suck until she weaned him. Now, this is a tremendous heart right here of a woman. She promised if God would give her a child that she would give him to the Lord. So she had the period of birth until she weaned him, which was approximately 3 to 5 years old, to work with him, work with his heart, work with his life. And then she was going to give him to the man of God, Eli, who already had his own sons, were sons of Belial. It was not a very good situation. So who knows what Eli would do with this 3 or 5 year old. So she spends day and night working with him. You know, we think, you know, and as our children grow up, they are influenced by what we set before them. We instruct them. It says that a rod is important to drive. You know, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, so the rod will help correct it. Well, she had to discipline him. She had to teach him. She had to teach him what his future was all about, because once he left, she could only see him yearly. So she didn't have time for the terrible twos. She didn't have time to let him kind of figure things out. She taught him the Word of God. Night and day, she spent her time with him, devoted her time and attention, everything to him. And then she had to let him go. Isn't that amazing? That's a heart of a mother. To want to do everything, want to set a foundation. And you think our children from birth until, let's say, 5 years old, give her a little grace there, a little extra time, how much of an impact the Word of God can be on their lives. We just don't put them in front of a TV. They're influenced by so many things. We need to influence them in the Word of God. Moses was the same. His mom put him in a basket in the river because Pharaoh was going to kill all these babies that were under 2 years old. So to protect his life, she put him in a basket, but she also put him in a situation where she knew Pharaoh's daughter would come. And then so Pharaoh's daughter would take him. And then Miriam just happened to be there on the side saying, "Do you want a nursemaid for this baby?" So she was able to get Moses back into her home until she kept him until he was weaned and then gave him back to Pharaoh's daughter. And Moses was known as a new God face to face. He had an intimate relationship with God. But he only had that period of time within his mother's heart, within her life and influence. But he became this great man. You know that Pharaoh's daughter didn't teach him the word. So God had to work within him, and the mother set that foundation for God working in him. So what incredible influence a mother has in the life of a child from the very birth. You know, we start singing to them when they're born, teaching them the word. And then they just keep growing and growing. But our influence, we have to be strong in prayer, because we can't be with them every moment of the day. But we set that foundation and just see them, tell them who they are. Our children are sons of God, God's children. So they've got quite a life to live. Each one of us are God's children. We've got so much to live, to influence the people around us. But she had those 3 to 5 years to work with that child. And that's just amazing. He became a great judge. It just blows my mind. You know, it's so important that we teach our children to do Ephesians 6:1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. If our children don't obey us, how are they going to obey God, whom they can't see? So we have to be very diligent to teach them and to be examples to them from a very, very early age. Let's look in chapter, let's see. So she weaned him and then, okay. Verse 24 of chapter 1, it says, "And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, with 3 bullocks and 1 ephah of flour and a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here, praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord." And he worshiped the Lord there. And you think about it, and you have to think, these are real people. It's just not a storybook. It's not a fairy tale. Here she is bringing this 5-year-old child to the Lord, and it's going to leave him there. Now, sometimes, I know with toddler fellowship, when we first started, there were times where they cried the whole time because they couldn't be separated from mom or dad. And we worked with them, and they got over it. Now they just love fellowship. They have their own little Bibles and everything. But it takes working. Well, here you got a 5-year-old, and mom has brought him to the temple and then leaves. He could have ran away, you know, maybe ran away next year or the year after. He knew he had to stay there. That was his purpose. To be there, to work with Eli, to serve the Lord. You know, these are real people. Think about it. It's just amazing. But she had so instilled in him his purpose, and he fulfilled it. And look at chapter 2, verse 1. It says, "And Hannah prayed and said, My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God." She was so thankful. She gave up her son, and then she rejoices and says how great God is. You could have thought, well, you know, I wish I would have prayed and not said the whole life, given him to the Lord for his whole life, or maybe I could see him more often, but the culture was you went to the temple once a year. She was going to see him once a year. She rejoiced. God fulfilled his promise. She fulfills her promise. And she raised this child, this little child, to serve the Lord. What an unselfish act that mother had. We raise our children, we give them to the Lord. We want them to walk on God's word. So she rejoices. Isn't that just awesome? Another aspect of a mother's heart is how to know her children are alone from God. They are God's kids, and we are raising them together with him. Isaiah 49:15 and 16 says, "Can a woman forget her sucking child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget. Yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before thee." Can you see how much we and our children need God? You know, where we are going to be short, God's going to take care of it. But we just need to lead our children to the word and be faithful, be examples to them. Let's look at verse 18 of chapter 2. "But Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child, girded with a linen ephod. Moreover, his mother brought him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice." Can you imagine that encounter? They had a day, or I don't know how long she had with him, but she had one moment in a year that she would be with him. And she, in that period of a year, she made him a coat that it probably was the only coat he had all year long. And you know what's neat about that coat is it had her love around it. Think about it. She made it from her hands. She probably, he knew her love. Every time he looked at himself, he saw his mother. It's pretty amazing. Oh, I don't want to cry here. You know, sometimes when an infant's really fussy and mom's not around, you put her nightgown or something, the smell of her just softens a child. And to think that Samuel had his mother, you know, something that she made was around him all the time, it was really amazing. I don't know why I cried at that, but. So, it's pretty neat. But sometimes in our daily chores that we find the greatest reward. It says in Proverbs 31, the virtuous woman, tremendous qualities of a mother and a woman, that her children are clothed with, her household is clothed with scarlet, that she provides the best. You know, as a mother, we need to provide a haven of peace, a security for our children. We need to have dinner on the table, teach them that we have this special time where we share our what went on in the day. Our children don't have to worry about what are we going to eat tonight. No, because we provide for that. We make sure that every need of theirs is taken care of. It's very important that we just provide for them, that they aren't lacking. And one of the reasons we can provide for them is because we trust God, that he's going to give us an abundance, that we're going to always have our needs taken care of. But let's look at verse 20. "And Eli blessed Elkanah and his wife and said, The Lord give thee seed of this woman for the loan which is lent to the Lord. And they went unto their own home. And the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bare three sons and two daughters. And the child Samuel grew up before the Lord." This woman was so unselfish. She was patient, loving, knew that the Lord would provide. And God blessed her exceeding abundantly above all she could ask or think. He gave her three sons and two daughters. Not at the same time. But I hope. He did, then she's got more character than I can imagine. But God blessed her. And God blesses every one of us when we stand faithful on his word. Isn't that amazing that he would do that? She gave, and God just blessed her beyond what her desires of her heart. It's just incredible. This is just an amazing account here. And, you know, we don't have universities for mothers, universities for being a wife and husband, but the family of God, the family is probably the greatest institution, the greatest area of influence in the world, and how we should be able to teach. We should have universities. That's the greatest. I want a diploma of being the world's greatest mom. And you know where we get that? We get that in our children. We get these little notes. I got flowers from Tim and Tristan yesterday. So to the world's greatest mom. It's pretty neat. But but our lives do influence so much. I really didn't put that in my notes to cry here. Another aspect of a mother is that she always wants her children to have a perfect environment to live, to be protected. I wish all college classes could be correspondent courses so we could keep our kids right in our homes and they wouldn't have to experience all this stuff. But they have to. And that's how I got in the Word. I was in college. I was hungering for the Word. We have to give our kids into the world, but we set a foundation for them that they can hold on to the Word, and they can live, and they can bless other people. So Hannah was a great example. She knew Eli's home was, the temple was not going to be a great place for her son, but because of her prayer, it protected him, and he grew strong in the Lord. As parents, we can't be with our children all the time, but our prayers can be. So we need God working together, raising our children. And we need prayer life and a dynamic relationship, believing that God will answer our prayers. Because of what Hannah's impact on Samuel's life was, as a teenager, he audibly heard God talk to him, and that's when he became a great judge over Israel. As mothers, we want our children to be cared for in every way. We want to control situations around them, but we can't. But we know the God who can control everything, God who is perfect. And once we teach them the word, he will direct their paths as they trust in him. We have to teach our children to believe God's word so that they can make it their own. As you see from these scriptures, we have a wonderful role model in the life of Hannah. She was a woman devoted to the living God. She was a woman of great prayer and patience. She had a tremendous impact on her son because of her love and faithfulness. And then God blessed her exceeding abundantly above all she could ask for or think, with three more sons and two daughters. Each one of us has a significant role in God's plan. As children of God, we have the ability to influence all the people around us with God's light, with his love, with his peace, with his truth. We have so much to be thankful for. So that's what I want to share with you today.